gonna be, not Progress Corner, just regular teaching on infiltration, part four. Alright, I looked in Noah Webster's 1928 Dictionary of the English Language. What does infiltration mean? It means to enter by penetrating. Alright, before Jesus ascended up to the clouds, he laid down the commission to the apostles and all those that were present. There were 500, from what I understand, that were present. Alright, we're going to read the Great Commission this morning. Then the 11, verse 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Right, he says, he gives hands this down in Mark chapter 16. It's a little bit different. He adds a little more detail. Or the trend, whoever, Mark here, adds more detail. I like it. Right here. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. See, this is a part I like, because it needed to be added, because this is what happens when you have to go in and take the gospel. You must first infiltrate Satan's domain. Clear the way. Right? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He's indicating here you're going to have opposition. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Now go to Mark 4. Back two pages here. Really, I wish they'd all got together and wrote one book, you know, and just compared and filled in the places where they had one complete story. Because that's what the Gospels are, they're part. It's like I was telling Nancy, Jackie remembers things as a kid that I don't, and I remember things as a kid that she doesn't. Well, that's the same way with the disciples. They remember parts, and they wrote their parts.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 4, 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, set in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? Now we just read the Great Commission. That's really the main thing that he laid down for us to do. receive it with gladness, and have root in themselves, and is so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now fruit is not stuff. Fruit is a harvest here. According to the infiltration, the better harvest that you're going to yield. I'm not saying you can't use this for stuff, because obviously the faith community has done it for forever. This is about the kingdom of God here. Isn't that what the kingdom is about? The infiltration of the kingdom of God into all the nations, into all the world, and that our commission that's been laid down?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let me see. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For as nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but it should come abroad. If any man has have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet is measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Then he goes on to talk about, so is the kingdom of God, if a man should cast seed into the ground. Isn't this the parable of the sower? And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corn in the ear. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Said to every creature, didn't it? And with many parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. When they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. I never looked at it this way until the middle of last week. The Lord began to speak to me about this parable, that it's about the Great Commission. It's about taking the gospel. All right? The advancement of the kingdom of God. Isn't that what this is about? Isn't that what we're suffering today, because the kingdom of God has been choked out? How can they hear unless they have a preacher? What comes forth? The word. The seeds are sown. Some places, I was reading, it's a book by C. Peter Wagner, and it's about warfare prayer, and he's talking about in places where they have gone in and they have done warfare prayer, people nearly run up to them and grab the tracts out of their hands. He said, you can go other places, you couldn't even give a track away if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
If they had not gone in and infiltrated and softened that ground up for the gospel to go forth.
Mm.
So that has to be done. You have to infiltrate. I think that's what the Lord has us doing. We're speaking and we're breaking up that hard ground. So whenever the word does go forth, it'll get on good soil and won't be choked out by the thorns and the different conditions of the soil. All right, according to the infiltration, the greater the harvest will be. The more the word will be able to fall on good, soft soil and be able to spring up and bring forth the harvest. Isn't that what this is all about? It's, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. In other words, finances, getting things, and doing stuff. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the advancement of the kingdom of God. It's about infiltrating the whole earth with the kingdom of God. You know, when you do that, there's just prosperity everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That goes without saying. That's just a fringe benefit of doing. Say you do his business, he will take care of your business. Now, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes we have to put it in the proper perspective. As faith people, this, I want that, I want that, da 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 da, confess, you know, all this mess. We spend all these hours, but what about those that are dying around us? What about those that need them to hear the Lord? Acts chapter 13, we're going to look at Paul's journey, a little bit of it, not all, just a little bit this morning. And I think with what I'm going to say to you here in the next few moments, what the Lord said this morning about your slumped shoulders. You have slumped shoulders because your perspective is wrong. I'm trying to focus on the right thing. And it, even though you may be experiencing the same thing, it can help you walk through it because you're looking at it the right way. It has everything to do with it. You ever noticed, you know, you just kind of have a bad day, you leave the house, you're about to get to doing something, and you get that off your mind, and you come home and think, hey, I hadn't even thought about it, and how much better you feel? All right. Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. When they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elam is a sorcerer, so is his name by interpretation, and withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So what's going on here? They received their commission, and it's obvious they were praying. And what happened? First, right out of the box, come into Paphos. They come into the presence of an evil spirit controlling the ruler here. Sergius Paulus, I wrote down who he was. He was the deputy of the country, so it says. Like a senator, probably something like that. And this sorcerer had him under his spell and started riling up against Barnabas and Paul, because they were presenting the gospel to him. But Paul had instructions, and he dealt with him, right? And as a result of him dealing with that and casting that devil out of that sorcerer, what happened? Sergius Paulus got born again, a man of influence. Pick up verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. John departed from them, returned to Israel. We'll talk about John later. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With a high arm brought he them out of it. About the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Afterward they which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised up Jesus, or raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John filled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised Jesus up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that, he raised him up from the dead. Now in no more to return to corruption, he said, On this wise I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though man declare it unto you. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuade them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So you see, as they went to obey God, they were persecuted. It doesn't say exactly what all they did. They got kicked out, tried to do the will of the Lord. I used to think if you was in God's will, everything was great. You never had any flack at all. Boy, was I wrong. It's just the opposite of that. Because these demons, these religious demons here, that's why they finally, in chapter 15, they had to go before the Apostolic Council in Jerusalem and get a ruling on the stuff about the Gentiles going under Jewish customs. It was such a big mess. They were sowing such dissension. Yeah. All right, first right out of the box, here comes the resistance with the sorcerer. Then the spirit, then, you know, the Jewish leaders, their circumcision, if you will, come and they start putting their 2 cents in worth of what Paul is preaching, what his team is preaching. All right, let's read a little bit in Acts 14. I mean, if you read through Acts, if you'll go chapter to chapter and just pay attention, you'll see this right here. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. They hit some thorny ground, didn't they? Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave The multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. When there was an assault, both made of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. Now they've taken out the rocks. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and into the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. How would you like to be run out of town because they were throwing rocks at you? And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, made a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, but perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying the speech of the Laconian, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. But in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with good and gladness. And with these things, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." Think about that. You're having a meeting somewhere, and they show up with their sacrifices, their demon worship, because they think you're under that power. That's what happened here. They thought that it was by the power of these gods that they worshipped. That's why that lame man was healed. And they had to stop and they had to correct them and show them, no, that's not what this is about at all. It seemed like everywhere they went, something happened. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, and supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood about round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas and Derbe. Now you know why John departed. He couldn't take it. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. That's the word I wanted you to hone in. What they did, they were met with opposition everywhere they went. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after that, they passed through Bethsaida, and they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. Okay, I read all this to say this. When Paul had his near-death experience, you know, Danny said, I don't know where you got that commentary that they say possibly that's when he was called up to the third heaven. I think that's when he got the revelation. It's through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. He found out, you know, there's going to be this kind of stuff. And we see through the whole book of Acts, all the things that Paul went through. Obeying God. And you don't see anywhere where he had slumped shoulders. Now, he might have had them. But everything that's recorded here, it's always, you know, all these things have happened to me, but I'm not cast down. I'm not defeated. And I want to encourage you with that today. What we experience is because of what we're doing for the Lord and where he's placed us. And when you view that as this is God's commission, like you're in his military, then you're going to look at it differently. And I just don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the Lord, you know, I've done everything the Lord said. I just don't understand. If you stay in that mode, well, you'll stay in that mode. Really, I thank the Lord, it's a privilege and an honor that we have been chosen. Who else are you going to use? I don't know anybody. I mean, we might know Brother Copeland, a few round in here that we've never met. But you really know anybody else? I don't know anybody else. I know there are. I just want us to... Attitude determines altitude. I'll just put it that way. It's the easiest way that I can, whenever things start coming against us, the first thing we want to do is tell it. And show everybody that we're not doing well. My goal is to never let anybody know, you know, we're an even keel. You're happy, you're joyful, whatever, don't matter. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do. And when we realize we're in His Majesty's Secret Service here, it's an honor and a privilege that we've been called to do what we've been called to do. Honestly, so many years passed, I thought, I guess I'm never going to do anything. And maybe it's not as we suppose, because in the church world, if you're not up front and center, then you're nothing. But it's the ones behind the scene that nobody sees and obeys God that God sees. I don't care about what they do or what they see or what they think of me. I could care less. But I do care about what my Father thinks and what my big brother thinks and what the Holy Spirit thinks. And that's the only ones I care what they think. I want to please them. I want to do everything they want me to do. And I want to have the right attitude about it. Because really, if you think about it, we're just barely into this. And I'm thinking, okay. So the Lord talked to us about acclimating, getting used to your surroundings, getting used to the new warfare and everything. And then that's why it takes you so slow. It's like waking up people nowadays. That's what the same concept they're using. You can do a whole lot better with people if they can slowly adjust to it than if you're just slapping them in the face. If you slap them in the face, the law will turn around and walk away and never come back. So I just want to encourage you this morning that the Lord's with us. We don't have to be afraid. He's pleased with us. I don't think he's upset with us in any manner. And you know what? Just maintain that attitude. And then if he tells you otherwise, then you can deal with that. But why not? It's so we've been geared all our life to think negative about ourselves. Always a loser or a failure, you can't do nothing right. But God didn't look at us that way. Like I told you about the prodigal. He didn't say, well,